Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be listening to this long after this podcast is over. But however you've decided to spend the hour, we're very, very glad to have you. It's the end of January. Chinese New Year's is tomorrow, which means we're getting into February. Which, what does that stand for? V-Day. And that can be a multitude of many things. Around the world, a lot of people think of Valentine's Day, which is time for love, etc. But a lot of other people, which is growing more and more, I'd say even more than a billion rising, are starting to buy into, and I think it's a very, very amazing cause, V-Day, as in the most amazing day to stand up for women who are dealing with violence and to end violence against women. The amazing Eve Ensler, who is one of my superheroes, who Eve, if you're ever listening to this show, I'd so seriously love to interview you at some time. Yes, I have a superstar crush on you, and I think you're super cool. So yes, I did geek out on radio. You've heard it here first, and you've probably heard it from my mouth if you've seen me in person. But she's amazing. She's taken her play, The Vagina Monologues, and turned it into a huge movement. It started off as a grassroots movement, but then it's grown. And in case you're wondering, The Vagina Monologues, yes, it does say the word vagina in it. But it's so much more than that, where she's interviewed lots of women about their vaginas. And from there, different stories, everything from violence, different parts of the world where sex has been used against women. There's stories like the crooked braid, where one of the women cuts off her man's hair after he cheats on her, and he beats her to a pulp, and she has to relearn how to speak again. Two really fun ones, like the woman who liked to make other women moan, which I love. So there's some really awesome, juicy monologues in there, and I think juicy is the right word, because it's provocative, makes you laugh, makes you cry, makes you really think. And before anybody who's listening thinks, oh my goodness, is this going to be a woman-only show? Absolutely not. It's actually, men are included in this discussion as well. Vagina is a word that everybody can say, not just females, everybody, regardless of your gender. And what's really cool is I've got a very special guest on the show tonight. You've never heard her on the show, but you've probably heard her name mentioned because she's been directing the UBC production of The Vagina Monologues and MERP, which I'm going to ask her to explain what MERP is exactly, because I know it's another collection of monologues, songs, poems, etc., that are pretty empowering. And there's lots of wonderful things. And this year, they've actually got 6 or 7 guys in the cast as well, which I just applaud and think that's absolutely fantastic. If you haven't figured out who I'm talking about the wonderful, the fabulous Jenna Newton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So how's it going this year? Because you've been doing this, this is your third year, isn't it?
It is, yes, my third year.
How's it changed over the years based on, like, what's made you decide what to put together, like, in terms of you've got the monologues, you've got MERP, which, before we go any further, what the heck does MERP stand for?
It stands for A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer. It's a long name. We can't say it all that often. We don't have the time.
No, fair enough. And so how does that work? Because I know there's the actual book, The Vagina Monologues. There's also MERP, which you can purchase at Chapters or probably secondhand bookstores, etc., or, of course, on Amazon. But with that, of course, if you'd be there probably for 5 days if you went through and actually performed every single one. Plus, Eve's also written other pieces that are not included in the printed version that are only for the V-Day initiatives.
Yeah, there's quite a few monologues and pieces, memories, monologues, rants, and prayers in MERP. And every year, whoever's directing, this year it's the beautiful charity, they choose which monologues they'd like to share with the audience and put together a full-length show off of that.
Wow. That's fantastic. So in terms of for this year, what are some of the pieces and what feels, if you can give us a little bit of a sneak preview for the UBC productions?
Well, for MERP, we're seeing some favorites again. True, which is a beautiful monologue about what it means to be a bystander and in a perfect world, how the father wouldn't hit, the soldier wouldn't fire. And then we find that we don't live in that perfect world, and mm-hmm. it is very much a call to action. And Blueberry Hill, which is a piece, a beautiful piece about a woman who is almost gang raped, but she actually fights her way out. So it's very empowering. And one of my personal favorites this year, Man Prayer, a prayer from all of the V-men in order to hope that they're not perpetrators. And try to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And it's so beautiful. I get chills every time I hear it.
Wow. Now, that's incredible. And it changes every year because I know UBC is, I think, one of the longest for post-secondary schools that have been doing this.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think SFU used to. They're not anymore. I'm not sure if anybody else is.
But not in the Vancouver area. We're pretty much the front runners mm-hmm. for this area of Vancouver, at least.
Wow. And I love the fact you've got men in the show.
Yeah, they're all so fantastic. We call them our V-men, dubbed by the wider V-Day International, but brought on by UBC V-Day because they have such a special place in this movement as standing with us when we rise.
And I think that's really important because there's been a lot of women's movements that have excluded men where they've said men can't be part of it. It's just a women's only thing. But yet I think, too, and violence against women, it's going to take everyone, regardless of gender, to stand up and say, this is not cool. We're not standing for this anymore.
Yeah, it's so important for men to be involved in this movement, especially because if we want an egalitarian society where men and women are equal, how can we make a problem, especially one like this, separated between us and them, men and women? It has to be a movement where we all rise together to stop the violence.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of stopping the violence, I think that's a really key piece as well. And I forgot to mention that in the intro. And that's probably one of the most important things. Not only is this an amazing play, but what Eve Ensler does with the V-Day International is they waive the rights in terms of the cost to put on the show for universities and community groups for what's called V-Day, which has to be put on around Valentine's Day, between Valentine's and International Women's Day, sometime in that time period. On the condition that 15% of the proceeds go to usually whatever the global charity is, whatever that initiative is. And there's been ones from everything from Wars Mexico to Women in the Congo to the Comfort Women in Japan. There's been so many different ones over the years. And then the rest of the money has to go to support other local initiatives for women who are dealing with violence to end that.
Yeah, it's a great thing, and usually this wider international movement is featured actually in the Vagina Monologues as what we call the spotlight piece, and it's been exactly as you've described it, the Comfort Women, the Women of the Congo, and this year, as last year, it is the 1 Billion Rising movement to call to action.
What, I haven't seen that piece. What is that one? Is it
well,
the dance that
year.
I've seen? Or okay, fair enough.
Last year was the first year of 1 Billion Rising. Mm-hmm. The initiative began in 2012, and the first V-Day was 2013's V-Day. Mm-hmm. And the monologue was pretty much just describing what 1 Billion Rising means. And for those of you who don't know,
I was just going to ask that question, if you can enlighten our listeners and me.
The idea of 1 Billion Rising is that if the global statistic that one in every three women will be sexually assaulted in her lifetime is to be taken to heart, then that means approximately 1 billion women around the earth will be sexually assaulted. And if 1 billion people rise on one day and dance, they can shake the world.
Hmm.
That was the premise of last year's 1 Billion Rising, and it was so successful, and it was such a fantastic thing to be a part of that it's becoming an annual thing, and we have a bit of a different take on 1 Billion Rising this year. Hmm. It's very much a call for people to rise, less than a call for people to dance.
Hmm.
Get more people involved, make it more than 1 billion.
Has some of that shift been because of some of the stuff that's happened on campus, some of the assaults, etc.? Just in terms of how it's changed the feel. I even know for myself sometimes, as I was mentioning in our pre-show chat, sometimes I get a little freaked out coming to campus late at night when it's dark. I'm lucky because we always leave in a group. Thankfully, there is support, and even on the bus they'll actually announce you can call in and get somebody to walk you, so there's a lot of support. But it's shifted a lot, whereas before I didn't really think about it was too bad walking around.
Yeah, the 1 Billion Rising movement doesn't have anything directly to do with that shift, but it definitely resonates hugely this year, especially at UBC because of this, and the fact that this perpetrator hasn't actually been caught yet, and his picture is still everywhere, which causes fear, and UBC has definitely stepped up to the plate as of late to make women and men feel safe on campus. And, you know, we're just trying to do what we do without letting someone stop us from going about our lives.
Yeah.
Which is quite a bit of what V-Day is all about, which is why I'm hoping for V-Day this year at UBC to get more people involved, more people hearing about it, so we can all rise together and not stand for the kind of actions that have been happening right in our backyards.
I think that's fantastic. And I know with some of the charities that are being supported with it, I know there's Battered Women's Support Services, there's the Sexual Assault Center on campus, SAS, as well as there's SWAN. So three really great organizations that are doing some fabulous work. I know just on campus, SAS, Sexual Assault Center, and Angela, and I cannot remember her last name, and please forgive me, Angela, if you're listening to this, from BWSS. They've had a lot of different table discussions, a lot of work, so I know that the money is going to really educating and having those conversations, not just on campus, but outside as well through BWSS, as well as providing resources for those who have dealt with sexual violence, sexual assault, not just women, but men as well.
Yeah, it really does happen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I find that a lot of people are very blind to the assaults that happen right in our backyard, and I don't mean just on campus. I believe there's some on Cambie and Gastown and Dunbar. There's
Surrey.
Yeah, there's everywhere around the Vancouver area. It happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not just in other countries, and it's so important to realize this so we can do something to change it.
Yeah. No, I think that's really key. And I think sometimes we are oblivious to it. There's also the defiance, which there's movements such as Slut Walk, where I should be able to wear what I want. I think there's actually a monologue called My Short Skirt in the Vagina Monologues.
Shout out to Lauren LaPrairie, who's...
Is she doing this there?
She's fantastic. She's going to blow you guys away.
That said, a pair of stiletto heels has a nice, sharp, steel heel on that, which is very good, and if you need it for a weapon. Not that I want anybody to, but if
gotta get creative.
Yeah, and if you need to take care of yourself, yeah, you take care of yourself however you need to.
Yeah, and I love what you said about education. I think that it's such an important part of ending the problem of stopping the violence. And it's actually a theme for the Vagina Monologues this year. As a director, what I like to do is decide what I want an audience to leave with. And this year, my theme for the Vagina Monologues is education. We have our very sexy teacher, she's very good looking. And man, can she walk in a pair of heels. And we've got a chalkboard, and we've got a class of women who will tell their stories through the vagina monologues.
That sounds very saucy. If people could see how you're sitting there, even though I know those are very strong words, but it's very saucy as well. But I think people can be smart and sexy, so, and saucy.
Very saucy.
Over the years since you first got involved with the vagina monologues, did you come into it directing, or were you a cast member originally, or how did...
My history with V-Day goes a little bit past UBC V-Day. I first got acquainted with it when I was in grade 11, and my sister was in it in Queens. She said the monologue because he liked to look at it. And I went with my dad out to Kingston, and we watched the vagina monologues twice. The first time, you know, sitting next to my dad, but we quickly realized that there were ways to get over it. And then when I was in grade 12, for my drama class, we had a project where we had to direct 15 minutes of a show of our choosing. And of course, I chose the vagina monologues. And I directed the introduction, which is a bit of an explanation of the vagina monologues and how it came to be, so people would have background, because I didn't expect high school students to really know about it. And they beat the girl out of my boy, which is a very important piece about trans women and giving a voice to trans women. It's one of my favorites. And then, of course, the second I came to UBC, I needed to get involved. I needed to find it. So I acted in it in my first year of university, and then directed a memory, a monologue, Ranting and Prayer last year, and now I'm directing the vagina monologues, and I will continue to act in it until I move away.
Well, hopefully wherever you decide to move to, they have it, or you'll create it within that community with wherever you decide choose to go.
Yeah, I can't imagine my life not being involved in this, no matter how stressful it is around showtime.
If it makes you feel better, a dear friend of mine actually moved to Korea a couple of years ago to teach English to pay off for all her student loans from UBC. with that, she actually found a group there, and they did it there, which was quite neat because it wasn't completely in English. So,
a really great friend of mine, Kelly, she's been involved in V-Day for the past 2 years with me. She's in Slovenia this year, and it's so strange to be involved without her, but she's actually trying to start a V-Day there. And right now, it seems like it might just be a reading in a coffee shop, but
it's okay.
That is exactly how V-Day started. Yeah. And she's fighting wherever she goes, and she'll come back and direct next year, and she really is my own vagina warrior.
Do you still do vagina warriors, where you honor women in the community for it? At one point, they actually used to do that. But
we hold our own vagina warriors very close to ourselves, so usually what we do actually in our rehearsal process is one of our workshops. We go around and everybody says their vagina warrior, who that is to them. And we don't have an official vagina warrior for the UBC V-Day movement, but I think it is very important for each person to have a vagina warrior, male or female.
No, I think that's really, really key. And we've got some really good ones in Vancouver alone.
So. Oh, yeah. Some fantastic ones.
How has the movement changed you from... right from when you first heard about it in grade 11 and saw that play for the very first time with your dad to now?
To be honest, it's hard to remember a time where I wasn't comfortable saying the word vagina. And of course, I believe that the biggest change for me is that now it should be called the vulva monologues. I'm much more aware about and more importantly, where I sit within that movement. I think when I first got involved, I knew that I was a feminist, although I wasn't too aware of the history of feminism or the different types of feminism, what it meant to be a feminist. And I feel that I've really found my place within that, and I am not afraid of it as perhaps I once was.
And in regards to that, what is your definition of feminism for you?
For me, my form of feminism is very simple. It's the aspiration that we can and will live in an egalitarian society where there is no violence against women or men, and that the humanity is capable of accepting everybody.
Hmm.
Of course, that's a very broad statement, although I do really believe that it's possible, and I think as a woman, because I was born this way and this is the person that I am, I may be not as strong as, say, my brother, but that's not because I'm a woman. That's because he's 6'4" and weightlifts all the time. And if I decided to weightlift every day, perhaps I could be as strong as him, but it's not being a woman that holds me back.
Hmm. What are some of the misconceptions that people still have with feminism?
I find the biggest one is that feminism is equal to the hatred of men, is, I think, the most damaging thought to have regarding feminism.
Hmm. Now, I think that's pretty solid, because I've heard so many variations on it. It took me a long time. I used to call myself a humanist, actually, as opposed to a feminist, until somebody explained to me, if I looked it up in the dictionary, it meant that I didn't believe in anything. So I was like, that's not true. So, because I think my definition is very similar to what yours is for my personal self. But had a really hard time with it, because I have friends who do burlesque, for example, and they describe that as third wave feminism, and pole dancing for fitness, where on the opposite end, where there's women who call themselves feminists who used to be absolutely horrified that I was friends with girls like that, quote unquote.
Yeah.
We're all women.
To be honest, I'm impressed with people who pole dance for fitness. They have upper body strength that I just don't have.
It's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, and I think that it's amazing to have friends who are sex workers and of professions that other people might deem not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I find that those people have the most interesting stories. One of which, who did a workshop for UBC V-Day 2 years ago, her name is Renna. She created a book called I'll Show You Mine.
I've had her on the show.
She's another one of my vagina warriors. She's the most fantastic woman I've ever met, and I barely spoke to her for 5 minutes.
No, she's quite lovely. For those listeners who may not be familiar with her, she worked as a dancer for a very long time, was still continuing to work as a dancer, and if I remember correctly, was doing her master's, and cannot remember if it was sociology. I'll have to listen to the podcast because it's been a couple of years, but she had created a book called I'll Show You Mine, which was pictures of different vulvas, and there is even one woman who is M to F in there as well. Full color, totally out there, and it was really, really neat to have our own version of that in Vancouver, which was super cool, because I'd always watched Nick Karras, who's another one photographer who did the book Petals, and there's the documentary Petals as well, which his story was very different than her story, so it was quite fascinating. He started it because of the fact he was a commercial photographer and his girlfriend was really embarrassed about her vulva and thought it was ugly. So one day he took pictures, found she was absolutely horrified when she saw the pictures in color. But when he put it in black and white, she was okay with it. Ended up showing it to the pictures to a friend of hers who was in a support group for sexual assault survivors. And that friend ended up asking if she could get her picture taken. And then quite a few of the women from the group ended up, through word of mouth, getting their pictures taken, which they found really healing, especially getting their vulvas pictures taken and being able to see what it actually looked like. And from there, eventually ended up having to self-publish his book, which eventually a University of Victoria, film company ended up creating a documentary called Petals, and it's quite neat where they interview him, lots of different sex educators from the States as well as Canada, just about so many different things. And at the very end of the book, they ended up showing all the different pictures, and there was probably about 40 photos, and each one looked so different. It was really interesting, especially in this day and age with pornography, which is one of the biggest addictions out there, and especially in North America, but worldwide it's pretty bad, and where everybody thinks people need to look exactly, specifically like this perfect pink vulva, where not everybody looks that way.
Yeah, it's such an interesting experience. I remember the first time that I flipped through the book, I'll Show You Mine. And I suppose I've never been someone to react with disgust, but I was looking through it thinking, to be honest, I was thinking about the monologue from the Vagina Monologues, the Vagina Workshop, where she describes seeing her vagina for the first time as seeing a fish cut open. with the raw bloodiness. And it, as though it's a little bit unsettling at first, but then you're opened up to this entire world of wonder. She, as she quotes in the Vagina Monologues, vaginal wonder. And it's I have the book at home, and it's so fantastic if you're ever feeling like you aren't that perfect person to look through and realize that it's vulvas are as different as people's faces.
Yes.
Not two are the same.
And then it's interesting because we forget about that. And I think it's the same with male sex organs as well.
Of course, yes.
Where everybody thinks, we'll see what happens in the next 10 years. Because I think most of my friends, they chose not to circumcise their kids. But where it was almost normal to just have that perfect round mushroom head and straight. Whereas I think in the next little bit, it's been more accepting and like just to choose where it's not where people do keep the foreskin, etc. sometimes.
Yeah, it's a personal choice. And mm-hmm. in this case, it's mostly a parental choice and often a religion choice.
Yes.
I'm Jewish, so.
No, it's interesting, but for men as well, I think I'm not big enough, I'm not Ron Jeremy, so gosh, I shouldn't go out in public because I should just stay home and masturbate as opposed to actually trying to connect with anybody.
And it's such an interesting idea to look at the differences, like when we talk about the penis, we're thinking, oh, it's not big enough, and when we think about the labia, we think,
it's too big. And it's sad, but yet it's really important just to accept whatever we have as what we've got. And I think if there's something actually wrong, go for it. But I know labia surgery is on the rise. And in one of Eve Ensler's other works, The Good Body, which is my personal favorite, she's got one about a hymenoplasty, which just horrified me, which that's on the rise.
I saw a documentary about labiaplasty. I can't for the life of me remember the name of it, but before seeing that, I never knew that people actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, with all plastic surgery, I believe it's a personal choice. And if you are educated and know that labias are different and you still want that for yourself, then it is your body. But the idea, oh my goodness.
And not only that, in some cases you lose a sensation as well.
Yes.
So that pleasure, it may feel better, it may look better, but actually getting the satisfaction. And it's what do we need to do as a society to end shame and stigma around sexuality, just in general, and our genitalia.
Yeah, and that even goes into one of the pieces in the Vagina Monologues, the Vagina Not So Happy Fact, about female genital mutilation and cutting, the ritual of removing or cutting one's clitoris, which, for those of you who don't know, is not just a nub, it is a huge internal organ.
Oh, yes, it's got legs inside.
Completely removed, and I can't even fathom that. But that is what is largely accepted in some countries, female genital mutilation and cutting.
And what's interesting about that is in some cultures, it's actually considered a celebration. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine who did her PhD in Africa explain that, which she found really fascinating, because even though it was horrific in terms of the practice, what was interesting was the fact that it was considered a celebration when a woman came of age. It wasn't considered torture. It was something in joy. And in Western culture, we don't have a lot to celebrate when someone gets their cycle for the first time. I know there's a whole monologue series about that as well, but it's true. We don't really talk about it very much. And it's almost this thing where, okay, we can't talk about it. It's a dirty thing. It's messy. Why? And yet it's so important to celebrate. And I think it's something that needs to shift.
Yeah, it's very interesting to look at it that way, because we do, as North Americans, often perpetuate our own beliefs onto other countries and other cultures and believe that we have the right way, which is often not true.
Mm.
You know, there is no right way, and although to us it might seem horrific that female genital mutilation cutting happens in Africa, but it really is a celebration for them.
And it's interesting. I'm hoping things are shifting. The good news is right here in Vancouver, we've got the lovely women from Luna Pads who created the pads. They also sell the Diva Cups. And in case anybody's wondering what is a pad, a Luna Pad, it's for during menstrual time where they're actually reusable, where you can actually wash them. And what's really cool about that is they're starting their Luna Circles where they are making it a celebration. And I think that's really, really important. And I'm hoping to have them on the show soon, because I love the lovely Madeline and Suzanne, who are the owners and founders of Luna Pads. They're pretty wonderful innovators. Might be good for me to connect you with them, actually, for a workshop or something. They're
yeah,
pretty
that's
terrific
definitely
people.
Interesting. I'll have to tune in to the interview.
That would be wonderful. What, in terms of the monologues, were there any that shocked you when you first read through? Because you mentioned that you and your roommate had to go through all the ones in MERP, and it's a lot of monologues, lots
yes.
of poems, lots of stuff.
There's a lot of shocking monologues and pieces in the Vagina Monologues and A Memory Monologue, Rant and a Prayer. When I first obviously connected with the Vagina Monologues,
mm-hmm.
and the one that I found most difficult to connect with was a monologue titled My Vagina is My Village.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times. One time that broke my heart, we saw it. And for those who haven't seen it, it's one where she talks about My Vagina is My Village and about how pure and how joyous and how much her vagina is just so fresh, etc. And then it cuts to then the war came and how she deals with violation, rape, and just it's not as doesn't smell as fresh, etc. And just how she just feels so dirty and unclean.
Yeah, and it's
powerful.
Evansler writes with such imagery, and it's such a powerful monologue. Mm-hmm. And it talks about in the introduction specifically how rape is used as a weapon of war,
mm-hmm.
and the detail that this woman goes into in such a short monologue too, with the duality between how she used to see her vagina and how she does see her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking a very interesting approach to it this year, in that it can be interpreted as her past self and her present self, but it also can be interpreted as her aspirational self versus her real self. And two beautiful women, Giselle and Sachi, are going to be performing that one this year. And it took a while for me to connect with that one, but when I did, through conversations with these beautiful ladies, I think we really found something amazing in it. And I really hope that people see it the way I see it and allow it to bring them clarity.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really, really important. It's a really powerful piece. It's neat to see. I'd like to see it with the two ladies. I've seen it done before where they've actually pre-recorded the monologue and had a dancer do it.
That's so interesting.
It broke my heart because it just went from the leaping of joy
to just literally crumpled on the ground and just writhing, and then up again, down, just with everything that happens. And it was pretty poignant. One of the things I love about seeing it year after year, so anybody who's listening, is it's not like a Fosse show where the choreography is the same every year. Each time it's unique, it's different, not just because the cast is different, but they make it their own. And there's a lot of creative license that's allowed, which makes it pretty powerful. So whether it's the woman who liked to make other women moan, which totally, it's my all-time favorite. So
the woman who's doing it this year, her name is Racy, and she is
very racy.
Fantastic. Her moans are amazing. You should come out just for that. Just for the moans. It is worth the $15. You will not be disappointed, and I do mean that in more ways than one.
Moaning is very, very, very important. It's good to have lots of release.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And as she describes in The Woman Who Loved to Make Other Women Happy, she talks about having to choke back her moan because it intimidated some men, and how it created stress disorders and anxiety. And then, of course, she goes on to describe how she discovered women and how women loved her moaning.
And it just makes a huge difference with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually. On the weekend, one of our past guests we just had on the show, another woman I should connect you with, Minka DeVos, who, if she's listening, loves V-Day, and actually helped put together the event that was at the Roundhouse last year on the same time. Well, you guys did one on campus here, but for the 1 Billion Rising. And she just did a jade egg workshop where it was about the full spectrum goddess, where it was about how learning how to basically, where you insert a jade egg, and learning through Qigong, which is Chinese medicine, as well as just different practices, learn how to just get that kundalini energy up along the back and around in that what they call a microcosmic orbit. And how it's really beneficial for women, where you don't lose as much blood physically, and not as much energy during menstrual flow. And just in general, have more energy. It's also really good for reducing pain for potential breast cancer, as well as for ovarian, cervical, et cetera, because it balances out your kidney chi, as well as...
Well, yeah. Sign me up.
I will send you the details. But it was pretty fascinating and really, really amazing. But with the moans, going full circle conversationally, because I tend to go off on tangents sometimes, with it was really neat, because we actually had different tones with sound release, it's actually really, really powerful. And you could actually feel the whole resonance just kind of coming up the back as well with the eggs inside. It was quite powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And coming from theater school, it was very fascinating. It kind of worked just as well as the UBC voice intensive that they usually have every summer, but in such a totally different way, where it felt more organic and not having to memorize Shakespeare and and do your Shakespearean sonnet at the same time, but actually doing it where it's pretty fabulous. So it was really neat. So when I think back to about the fact that the woman who liked to make other women moan used to get headaches, stress, etc., had to take time off from her work because she, if I remember correctly, was a lawyer who used to wear all the blue suits.
Yes, that is correct.
And then once she found herself and was able to give other people pleasure as well.
There was nothing like that in corporate law.
No, I can't imagine there would be. So we're going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the Vagina Monologues and the V-Day Initiative. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. If I can play the right promo. We'll be right back.
FM Vancouver Reloaded, playing your favorite tunes and mouth-humping your ear holes full of voice talk. Yeah, we do that.
In Sexy and Van City Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking about moans. We are talking about My Vagina's a Village. We are talking about Eve Ensler. We're talking about UBC V-Day. Does any of this sound familiar to you? If it doesn't, you should listen in. Find out more. Anyway, welcome back to Sexy and Van City, and I've got the lovely, fabulous director, Jenna Newton, on the show, who is directing the Vagina Monologues this year. And if you're wondering, hey, Caroline, we've been listening to the show. When can we get tickets? Where can we get tickets? All that really important, juicy bits. You've got the show coming up. It's February the 11th with MIRP.
It opens on the 11th with a memory monologue, a rant, and a prayer. And then the Vagina Monologues opens on the 12th.
Hmm.
They will alternate days. So the 13th is, again, MIRP. And then the 14th, the Friday night before reading week, is the Vagina Monologues.
Hmm.
And then on the 15th, which is the Saturday, we have a matinee at 2 p.m. of the Vagina Monologues. And then an evening show of MIRP to wrap it all up.
Mm-hmm. Where can people get tickets?
Tickets are being sold online.
Okay.
Right now at brownpapertickets.com/vagina monologues or memory monologue, rant, and a prayer. I believe it's UBC V-Day.
Mm.
The link can be found on Facebook on the event pages, which can be found through UBC V-Day official page. So you can just like us on Facebook, or you can come by and see us at the Sub. We're here every day this week from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. selling tickets, selling t-shirts, selling vulva chocolates, which are tasty, and giving out free vulva hugs.
What is a vulva hug? I have this vision of scissoring, which I don't think that's quite what would be allowed on campus. So,
not quite, although you're making me realize why people avoid the vulva. we have a suit, a vulva suit. It's like a tunic with a hood where the clitoral hood is supposed to be, and it's pretty anatomically correct considering the fact that it's a tunic. And the cast members wear them, I wear them, the boys wear them, and give out free hugs to spread the love and stop the violence and raise awareness about UBC V-Day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have a few really excited people come right up to us and give us hugs, but a lot of people asking us what a vulva is, and a lot of people avoiding us, like parting like the Red Sea.
Literally.
At one point, I thought I had a force field around me.
You've also got a couple other events coming up as well, isn't there? Some fundraisers to raise additional funds.
Yeah, one is coming up this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Mark your calendars, everybody. It's called the Vajasquerade. It's happening right here at the Sub in the Art Gallery on the first floor. It starts at 7 p.m., ends at 10 p.m. It features art with the theme of violence against women, and it is also an open mic, so we'll be having music for a bit of time, mostly cast members, some friends as well. And if you're interested in getting involved, you can email ubcvday@gmail.com for more information. It's pay what you can to get in, and all the proceeds go to our beneficiaries. And it's a fantastic way to come by, mingle, ask about tickets. We'll be selling them at the event. And
I totally thought to some good music. You were going to say you can ask about vaginas.
Oh, you can. I will give you an anatomy lesson. You find me. I'll be the one in the leather dress.
Wow. What's next for you for next year?
For next year, mm-hmm. I have another year of school to go, another year of my undergraduate degree. And since I've directed all I can direct, I will be acting once again in the Vagina Monologues and hopefully a Memory Monologue or Rant and a Prayer, assuming that my audition goes well.
I have this funny feeling it just might go quite smoothly. So.
Oh, well, here's to hoping. I hope I don't choke. I mean, I already know the monologues off by heart and don't want to seem like I'm showing off.
If you could wave a magic wand and make this production go absolutely exactly how you want it in your head, what would you like the takeaway? Because you mentioned education. Mm-hmm. So what would you like to visualize coming out of that education? They come out of there. They've thought a lot. It's kind of stuck in their heads. What's the next step?
Well, I would love... initially, of course, you've just spoken about the first step. I would love if people left and really thought about what they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Vagina Monologues has quite a few humorous monologues, and this year we've chosen to end on the spotlight piece, which is a very powerful way to end it, with a lot of hope, a lot of oomph. And I really hope that it's the medium audience members need to go home and really think about what they've seen. I hope that it leads to more people getting involved mm-hmm. in the show, men and women. The cast can be very large. We started this year with about 50 people. And the larger wow. it is, the more opportunity we have to bring people out and create the wider spread we have to create awareness mm-hmm. and to have people ask questions and no longer be a bystander.
Yeah, I think that's really key, especially with just the whole concept of rape culture. And I know it's hitting home, especially in the Lower Mainland right now with mm-hmm. the sexual assaults, etc. I would love to see what's going to happen. I think there's a lot of really great conversations that are happening. I love the fact that V-Day is still here at UBC. I love the fact that it's still growing. And I'm hoping that things continue to move forward.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic way to get involved at UBC with starting a conversation. And the very generous UBC Theater has allowed us to make the Freddie Wood Theater our home, which allows for 400 people every single night, which allows us to have such a wide spread of audience members that we can reach out to.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're hoping to fill the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So come on out, everybody.
No, I think that's fantastic. Is there any other volunteer roles that you need? Because I know it's crunch time right now, mm-hmm. so obviously not for cast. You mentioned lighting earlier,
yes.
which might be something. Is there any other things like social media? Like, what else do you need?
Well, I believe we're missing a lighting operator. So if you have any experience with a soundboard, even if not, our very competent tech director, Scott Zechner, can show you how. As he's shown me how way too many times. And to be honest, we're looking for people to be involved in many capacities. There's lots of opportunities to be involved with helping us out at the door, with even we're looking for people to film the shows. not to spread widely, but we keep a bit of an archive of the past year's shows for the cast. It's a memorabilia thing. Nice. So if that's something that interests you, then send us an email.
Which sounds fantastic. Is there any, if those videos up on, do you guys have a YouTube channel?
No, we, under the V-Day International rules, it's not to be spread around. The filming of the shows is strictly for members of UBC V-Day as a way to look back on it, and often for directors to watch older versions and see what's been done and what can be, what new can be said. So keeping it interesting for the audience members who don't want to see the same thing they saw last year.
Which I think is fabulous. In terms of some of the stuff that's been done in the past versus now, and I know as we spoke about earlier, each show shifts a little bit based on what the main focus is for the year. So whether it be the Congo, 1 Billion Rising, it's shifted each time. What are there some other changes because of societal changes that have changed, say, in the last 10 years or so with some of the footage where you've noticed where certain things that might have been funny aren't so funny anymore, and they're the way the monologues are delivered, it's shifted, and stuff that perhaps was more serious is now funny because our society's shifted?
For the most part, I find that these shifts happen within actors and how they interpret it. The one that comes to mind for me is the Vagina Workshop. In the past, I've seen it done in a very humorous way. You know, it, for those of you who don't know, it's about a woman who goes to the Vagina Workshop to learn about how to orgasm, about the clitoris, about it's really a medium for this woman to actually see her vagina for the first time in her life. And I've seen it before done in hilarious ways, and it is a very funny monologue. It has its humorous moments. She's, for example, there's a part where she's worried that she's lost her clitoris and she's scrambling for it, and it can be taken in a very humorous manner. However, Britt, the beautiful woman who's doing it this year, her take on it is so truthful, and it really hits to a heart that I've never seen before. And it's not as humorous, but in a most beautiful way, it's really enlightening, and it's so heartfelt. And when she's looking for her clitoris, instead of laughing, you're thinking, oh, honey, you didn't lose it. You'll find it. I know you will.
The audience is totally rooting for her.
Wow. Which is a great thing. And, of course, each one changes depending on the society. Like, for example, the little coochie snorcher that could.
I love that one.
About this woman who, as a young girl, has a very bad relationship with her vagina, which she calls a coochie snorcher. Until when she's about 16 years old, she meets a beautiful secretary who invites her to her house and teaches her all the things about her coochie snorcher. And I was in a discussion with the cast members this year. We have three beautiful girls doing it, Ashley, Rianne, and Jen. And we were talking about the monologue, and Rianne brought up a very interesting point that she wondered how an audience might feel if it wasn't a woman who showed the 16-year-old girl all the things about her coochie snorcher, but if it was a man. And when we're looking at equality more and more, you have to take those things into consideration, and it brings a very serious tone to this this monologue that's very much about empowerment. And although it remains a funnier piece due to the fact that it is written in a humorous light, you definitely feel the shift there with that change in perspective.
Very much so. I felt it actually just listening to you. Like, ooh. It's kind of like thinking of Sleepless in Seattle with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks switching roles, which it would be a horror story thing because if instead of her stalking him stalking her, it would be really scary.
You know, I used to really like that movie until you just said that. I'm going to put it out of my head. Sleepless in Seattle is still fantastic. Love Meg Ryan.
in regards to Sleepless in Seattle, enjoying all sorts of V-Day loveliness. Can you just touch in again as to where to get tickets one more time? The sub, and if they're buying them online, it's online. From Brown Paper Bag?
Brownpapertickets.com. The links, again, are on our Facebook event pages, which can be found through the UBC V-Day Facebook page. And as always, if you want to know more, you can email us at ubcvday@gmail.com.
That sounds perfect. Thank you, Jenna, so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through his wee hours. Through the wee hours. Wow, my alliteration is just gone. He will be guiding you through the wee hours with his awesome music and his super duper sexy voice. Until next week, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Have a beautiful night, everyone. Bye-bye.